Boundary 3, self-harm is not commanded or tolerated or condoned. Leviticus 20:1-5, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Say to the people of Israel, Any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Molech. Can we tell the world that this same God requires that a parent withhold life-saving treatment today so that the child is offered to the true God, actually killed by scriptural and legal and societal definition? Is the ministry deprived of its healing power and authority if the child is not sacrificed by the parents, even after those parents have obeyed the scripture and have the child anointed? Wouldn't it be more fair and just for the ministers to lose their own lives for failure to heal than an innocent lay person who has a remedy easily at hand, a remedy such as insulin or antibiotics that is proven to routinely cure what is threatening the life of the person, but they nevertheless lay down their lives? There were children who died from natural causes and accidents in Old Testament times, and we don't hear God becoming exercised about that, although he had the power to stop any or all such events. But God focused his wrath on those events that were under the control of the parents. By the same token, it seems to be no defense that children in bygone eras did not have access to medical care and that therefore God must not be interested in them having access to medical care today, because God focuses solely on what we are able to do and holds us responsible for that and charges us with causing what we could have prevented. How did it come to pass that with such profound pronouncements from God about his character and his abhorrence for the idea that suffering and death would be attributed to an act of devotion or worship to him, how then did we adopt such a characterization of God that causes people on the outside, for whom divine healing was supposed to be a sign, to shake their heads and declare things like, I feel like I'm witnessing a crime scene. And that's not just made up. That's what somebody actually said. How did we adopt a characterization of God that causes the saints to act in such a way as to be arrested and prosecuted for, of all things, unnecessary human suffering and death? How is it that the more disturbing the circumstances that we deliberately did not prevent when we could have, the more glory we believe accrues to God? A child gets something in its eye and the parent won't have it taken out, but professes that they're trusting God. In other words, the parents believe God appreciates this situation. Why? Because it represents sacrifice and trust. Whereas Jesus said, if you have something in your eye, get it out. Jesus taught that we are to anoint our heads when we fast, so we don't appear to fast. We do the opposite of what Jesus said, meaning we don't anoint our heads when we fast, like Jesus told us to. Why? Because Jesus' point was to appear normal and not signal to the world that we are fasting. By the same token, Jesus gave the ministry power to heal as a sign to unbelievers. So dying unnecessarily gives the opposite signal from what Christ ordered us to give to them regarding divine healing. We're not to send a signal to the world that Christ demands human sacrifice as though Christ has not died once for all. It doesn't seem that honor suicide is a suitable substitute either for divine healing as one of the signs following. Now, David was blameless when he ate the showbread. Remember when he was on the run from Saul? He grabbed the showbread. That was against the Old Testament rules. Why was he blameless? Because the commandments were given that he may live thereby and not that we may die thereby. Healing was made for the man and not man for the healing. What scripture requires you to do harm for the sake of worship or sacrifice to God? Let's read that again. What scripture requires you to do harm for the sake of worship or sacrifice to God? And are you going to say you love God so much he doesn't even require it? You're just going to make it up? Because if you pin people down and ask them where the scripture, they'll squirm around and say, well, we're doing this on our own out of love. Okay. The command to observe the Sabbath did not require that a person be harmed in observing it. So then how can the command to call for the elders to be anointed require that a person die in observing that invitation? Jesus challenged the Pharisees with a direct violation of the Sabbath, telling them that choosing not to save life, even if it violates some ritualistic observance of the Sabbath, is to be held responsible for destroying life on the Sabbath. Now, who said anything about destroying life? Jesus did. Jesus is the one who came up with that. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or to kill? Why? He's saying because you're responsible for what you choose to do. Jesus brought that in. The Pharisees did not bring that, the flip side of the omission in. Jesus brought it in right here. So Jesus challenged the Pharisees with a direct violation of the Sabbath, telling them that choosing not to save life, even if it's in violation of some ritualistic observance, is to be held responsible for destroying life on the Sabbath. And he asked them, what religious observance is there that would assuage God's judgment if it results in destroying life? Jesus also asked whether the answer is not found in their own willingness to violate the Sabbath when it's convenient for them to save their own animal. They'll make an allowance for that, an exception, if it was stuck in a ditch. And Jesus was pointing to their inconsistency as evidence of a lack of conviction and putting their rules above saving a person's life, which is comparable in my mind to our letting a child die for lack of insulin or antibiotics, but having no problem with oral surgery, including full anesthesia, because the teachings of our movement are held more sacred to us than a child's life, in spite of these clear teachings of Jesus himself. The scripture informs us that we have a healing resource in being anointed and prayed for, which was made available to us as part of the atonement. And are we to respond by what amounts to telling the world that no matter what they think about it or how it affects them, including depriving them of a loved one, we are required and bound to commit what amounts to human sacrifice or honor suicide while trying to gain a miracle from God, even though the scriptures, emphasized by Jesus himself, says, thou shalt not tempt God or put to the test the Lord thy God, when you have the means of preserving life, and that there is no ritualistic duty or observance in the entire religion that supersedes saving life or that justifies destroying life or destroying health. Is it lawful to do good, notwithstanding any religious rituals that might prevent it, or to do harm because you have to choose one or the other? By choosing the ritual when observing it means death. And in this case, the ritual, meaning the twisted scripture, claiming that it's a command that ordered us to only call on the elders. That's the end of Boundary 3.